All right. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, this is quite the sight once again. We've come together into an empty space, yet it is a filled space. And God is doing amazing things, even in the midst of the challenge of coronavirus and having to manage and deal with all of these obstacles that we're all facing as a church and as families and individuals. And we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's why it's so exciting to be a child of God. We live in a dark and evil time where there are plagues and diseases and sicknesses of all types. There's all types of sin and all types of chaos and confusion in the world all around us. Yet, nevertheless, the Spirit of God is still at work among us. And the Spirit of the Lord is still with us and in the midst of us. And this is why it's so important for us to abide in the Word of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God during these days. You and I are called to live a life that reflects the kingdom of God, the power of God, the presence of God, not just religion, not just the things that we believe, not just having information that is about God and about the historical accounts of historical religious figures, but that we are called to represent the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom of God, the power of God, the person of Christ himself. He is real. He is who he says he is. And you and I are called for such a time as this, that we are to represent not the world that we're living in, but the kingdom of God. And so that ought to be exciting for you. It ought to be exciting for each and every one of us. And it's been exciting for me to live a life that is able to reflect the kingdom of God, to be able to experience it. And it changes everything in our lives. And that's why our new theme for this month is so exciting. And as we begin this new theme, as we start out the month of August, can you believe it? The month of August is here already. And we are talking about picking up your mantle and being able to carry out the role that God has called us to play in life and to be able to prevail beyond the times. This is important because these times need prevailing beyond. Hallelujah. And so we are talking today about occupying the house. Hallelujah. Certainly, as we look around the house of Orange County Gospel Fellowship, there is very few of us here. And so we are occupying nonetheless. There is prayer going on in this house. There is worship going on in this house. It is a reflection of the very kingdom from whence we come from, the very place that you and I represent. And so as a result, you and I can be excitable people. And there's nothing greater than being an excitable person, someone who has a reason to rejoice, a reason to give thanks, a reason to see positive things in the future. And it is because the Word of God has given us what we need to have as a resource in order for us to be effective at having the fullness of God, the attributes of God at work in the midst of us. Even despite sickness, disease, plagues, and all types of challenging and difficult oppositions, if you will, forms of opposition. And so you and I can rejoice together. And so we're just thankful to be in the house of the Lord, and we're looking forward to this week, things being restored little by little. We will be coming back together, hallelujah, and certainly by next Sunday, I decided to pull back one more week this week, just as a safety factor, and we just wanted to make sure that we had the house is swept clean, and that the Spirit of God is prayerfully being introduced into the house and driving out every other unclean thing that might dwell in this place, and to make sure that each and every family and each and every household that might be coming in would also have a time of refreshing and of healing and complete liberation and deliverance, so that if there's any lingering sickness or any lingering diseases in anybody's homes out there who might be thinking that their heart's desire is to return to the house of the Lord, that they will have an opportunity to purify themselves and their households and be liberated from sickness and disease and every oppressive thing, and give us all a greater chance of a refreshing, new, fresh start next week when we come in together. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, I don't know about you, but this is a very exciting thing to be able to share around the internet screen, and to be able to have no one else here. I'm trying to readjust to that whole experience again. And just as Jorge said, he said, like being in Met Stadium, and there's nobody in the stands. But certainly we know that God is in the stands. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is in the midst of us. And certainly our tech crew is here, and we're thankful for them, and they are doing an awesome job, and it's exciting to be able to have people whom God has raised up for such a time as this, so that we would be able to still operate in the work of the Lord and the ministering of the Word of God and worship as we all consider occupying the house. All right, well, we are ready to jump into the Word of the Lord here, and certainly we can see that the Spirit of God has not forsaken us, but the Lord is with us, and that certainly you and I have every reason to continue to give thanks to God, continue to rejoice in the Lord. And, you know, even as sickness and all these things may impact people's hearts and lives, I want to challenge you to persevere in the power of the presence of the Spirit of God. You see, it's important for us to understand that the Word of God has power in it. The Word of God is not just something that we just read and we believe, and that it gives us information, but it is the power of God unto salvation. The Scripture says the Word of God is alive. And so I would like to begin here in Micah 7:7, as our lead verse says, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Now, this is a powerful verse, because number one, it's declaring the fact that God will hear you. He will hear you when you are watching expectantly for the Lord. Here is Micah with a relationship with God. You and I, we must have a right relationship with God. Not a religious relationship with God, But we must have a desire for the Lord. We have to have a walk with God. We have to have an interactive life with God where he is a part of who we are, and you are who he is, and he is who you are. And there's this intermittent, interactive, life-giving work taking place between you and God. And as you are communing and walking with him and applying his ways and his principles in your life, God will hear you. Hallelujah. God wants to listen. He has got an ear for those who he is in fellowship with, in communion with, in a relationship with. And here is Micah saying, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Saints of God, you and I must learn how to wait on the Lord. We must learn how to wait. Waiting on the Lord does not mean that you just wait and it's like we pull up a chair and we sit down and we just have a seat and we wait and we're waiting and we're waiting. That's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord means ministering to the Lord. It's the picture of a servant who comes and tends the needs of the master of the house. It's the picture of a waiter who comes to the table and takes the order of those who are there to dine and to enjoy a meal. And it is the picture of the servant who comes along, who cleans and prepares and makes everything well and ready so that the guests of the house may enjoy and endure. And you and I are called to wait on the Lord. We minister to the Lord. We call upon the name of the Lord. We ask the Spirit of God to work in the midst of us, and we look to him as our source of life, health, and strength. And we call upon him, and we look to him. We wait upon the Lord, and he will hear us. He will receive us. And so I would like to use as a theme today, retrieve it. Retrieve it. Hallelujah. Well, I know that we are ready for the word of the Lord today, and I would like to begin with prayer. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we ask, O God, that you would arise in the midst of us, and that you would help us, O God, to be in a state of readiness, a state of yieldedness and servitude and surrender to you, that we would be waiting upon the Lord, and that we would be finding ourselves in a place where we are able to retrieve of the resources of God. I pray, O God, that you would mold us and shape us as we overcome this obstacle of sickness and disease, and that you enable your people to be lifted up and exalted, that you would be glorified and that you would be honored in all that is said and done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, certainly we see that when we think about Micah as he is waiting on the Lord, it is something that is important for each and every one of us to be able to do. You see, when we are talking about occupying the house, you and I must understand that the whole reason for the house is that it is the place where God is wanting to dwell. God has always wanted to dwell with his creation. God has always wanted to dwell in an atmosphere and in a relationship with mankind. God created man, and that was his ultimate goal, was to fellowship. Just like Adam in the garden, he was walking with God in the cool of the day. This is what God always wanted. He wanted the people that he created, the world that he had created, to be a place where he would be able to interact with that which he created. And so, in order for you and I to benefit from this relationship with God, from being able to occupy the house, to come into the house where we can dwell, where we can take possession of this house, we first have to have the resources to do so. You see, you and I, we cannot occupy a house if we do not have the resources. And in order to have the resources to occupy the house, we must be able to retrieve it. And that is what the Word of God enables us to experience and to have in our lives. He enables us to have the resources of God. You and I have a resource in heaven and of God that has all that we need is in Christ Jesus. All the resources, all the tools, all of the tools in the toolbox, if you will. They're all there. They're all there. It's kind of like going into Home Depot and you have all of the resources of anything. If you need to build a house or you want to build something, there are tools, there's resources, there's all types of screws and bolts, and there's wood, and there's metal, and there's all kinds of various tools and things that are available to us. All we need to do is retrieve what we need and bring it back and put it to work. And I'll begin to work with it and to use it. And you and I, we have the same resources in God. God has all of the tools, all of the resources. We have a heavenly Home Depot, if you will. The Spirit of God, there is a kingdom's worth of resources in God that you and I have available to us, and all you and I need to do is be able to retrieve it. Hallelujah. And if you have the time and the resources, and you have everything you need, you can go in, you can obtain what you need, and you can come out. And you and I are able to do that through Christ the Lord. God enables us to occupy the house. And I would like to look here at Exodus 29, 44 to 46, because as we can understand how when Moses brought the people out of Egypt, it was for the purpose of worshiping God, of being reconciled to God. You see, God has always wanted to dwell in the house with his people. He's always wanted to dwell with his people. He's always wanted to occupy the house. You and I must also occupy the house, the very place where God exists. And so it says in verse 44 of Exodus 29, I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. And saints of God, this is the desire of the Lord. You and I ought to occupy and allow the Spirit of God to cultivate. You and I, we cultivate the presence of God. We cultivate the Spirit of the Lord. We invite him in. We are establishing him in our own house. You see, it begins at home. It begins in the house that you are in. In fact, it begins wherever you are. You and I are a people who are called to be in the midst of God. God has always wanted to dwell in the midst of his people. You see, in Egypt, God couldn't dwell in the midst of the people because they served other gods. They served false gods. And God is a jealous God. He would not dwell in an unclean environment, in an unclean atmosphere. And this is why here in this passage, it says that God consecrated Moses and Aaron. There's a consecration that needs to take place. You and I need to consecrate our house. Consecrate your house. That means to set it aside. That means you purify it, you cleanse it. We are consecrating our homes from coronavirus, from sickness, from disease. I pray that you are praying through your house. I pray that you are walking your property and praying the presence of God and the Spirit of God, allowing God to move in the midst of you, and that you are yielding yourself and surrendering yourself to God, and that there is a fresh move of the Spirit, an outpouring of God's anointing, and that there is glory that is being established in the midst as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, you're creating an atmosphere. You're establishing a presence that enables the glory of the Lord to arise even in the place where you are driving out sickness and you are causing the weight and the oppression of sin and evil and fear and anxiety and doubt and all kinds of ungodly mentalities that are at work all around us, not just from being the fear of sickness and plagues and diseases, but of what's going on in the world itself, of the chaos and the confusion of the ungodly who are all around us. And God is trying to pull you out of an Egyptian environment, an Egyptian mentality, and this atmosphere that is actually one that is contradictory to the presence of God, to the Spirit of God, so that you can tap in to the resources of your heavenly Home Depot and draw of the resources of the Spirit of the Lord and gain strength and rebuild and reestablish yourself and to root yourself and ground yourself in the ways of the Lord, in the things of the Lord, so that those things that God says in his word will be a truth for you, that it will come alive for you, that it will be a reality for you, and that you will be able to dwell in the midst of your God, dwell in the presence of your God. Verse 46 says, they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am the Lord their God. God wants to draw you out, saints of God. He says that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. God wants to bring you out of oppression. He wants to bring you out from this place of fear and anxiety. He wants to pull you out from sickness and disease. He's trying to pull you out. And you and I, as we abide in God, as we tap in to the resources of God and his word comes alive. His word has the ability to create and breathe life. His word has the ability to establish itself in a powerful way, in such a way that you and I can be transformed into the image of Christ himself. You and I can come alive in Jesus, and we can experience the power and the presence of God. And so it says, they shall know, hallelujah, that I am the Lord their God. Saints of God, you need to know. You need to know for yourself. You need to have assurance. You need to have confidence. You need to understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but it will accomplish what the word of God is intended it to accomplish. That is what the word of God does. It accomplishes its purpose. It accomplishes that which it was intended to accomplish. It brings life. Hallelujah. This is what God has called us to live out as we live our lives, that we would be free from the ways of Egypt and that we would walk with God. This is how we occupy the house. We occupy the very presence of God. And certainly when God brought the Egyptians, brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and set them free from the Egyptians, we saw that they built a tabernacle in the wilderness. And in the tabernacle, there were various instruments within the house. And just as in your house, you have various instruments in your house. There are various resources and tools in your house. And this is true everywhere, even in the house of God. And when they were in the wilderness, there were these various elements that we'll have here. I'll put on the screen. And it says the first one is there was an altar. The altar was the place where the sacrifices were made. The next one was the laver. And the laver is the place where they would wash their hands. And the third one was the lampstands, which represented the light of God. And then there is the table, which was the place where everything was laid out and prepared. And then there's the altar of incense, which represented the prayers of the people. And then there is the Ark of the Covenant. And then there is the mercy seat, where the blood was sprinkled on after the sacrifices. And all these things Christ fulfilled. All these things are the things that Jesus represented. And you and I were called of God to represent all of these tools, these resources. These tools and these resources are here for the purpose of healing and restoration, for reconciling sinful men back to God. Because God knew that he was pure and he is holy and he is righteous. And so he made provision so that the people would have resources in order for God to dwell in the house, for them to occupy the house, for them to come into communion with God, to come into fellowship with God. You and I, we need to be able to come clean before the Lord. We need to be able to have clean hands washed before the Lord. This is what the blood of Jesus will do for us. Jesus, he washes us. He cleanses us from our sinful ways. He liberates us. He sets us free. This is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He fulfilled all of the tools of the house. He met all of the requirements that needed to be met so that you and I would be able to enter into the house of the Lord. We see this when Solomon built his house and the house of the Lord. In fact, if you recall, it was David who had a desire for a formal house of the Lord. You see, prior to that, they were dwelling in tents. God was dwelling in tents. And it's interesting that God had them dwell in tents. It's largely because when you examine the passages in Exodus there, it's that because the people who came out of Egypt were dwelling in tents, they were tent dwellers, God also wanted a tent so that he could be in the midst of the people. Isn't that awesome? That's how much God loves and cares for his people. This is how much God is looking out for you and for me. He loves us. He cares for us so much. He says, wow, you guys are living in tents. Oh, you know what? I want a tent too. I'm going to put my tent right in the middle of your tent so that we can all fellowship together. And you know what? I'm going to put all the tools and the resources together. I'm going to make everything available so that you can be clean and restored and renewed, and we can all come together, and I can be your God, and you can be my people. This is the heart of God. This is what God is trying to accomplish. This is what we see in the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And we see it even through the historical account of Israel. When we look here in the life of Solomon, as David had a desire to build the house of the Lord, but God says, no, your hands are you're too bloody, you're a god, you're a man of war, and so I tell you what, you know, you won't build the house, but I will allow your son Solomon to build the house. And so Solomon, he gets to build the house. And what happens? And of course, God, of course, is there, and he pulls all the resources together. And this is how good God is. God is a God of resource. God pulls resources together. He will make a way for you. God is your resource. All you need to do is retrieve the resources of God. He has given us his word. He has given us fellowship with one another. He has given us the church. He has given us our families, and he's given us all the things that we need. When you're born into this world, you're born into a household, a family that has resources that God has already orchestrated in order for you and I to be drawn closer to God, so that you and I can have a right relationship with Jesus, so that you and I can hear the message of the gospel. God orchestrates various people in our lives so that they would be able to speak the word of the Lord to us. It's not by accident someone shared the gospel with you. It's not by accident that someone is testifying of the things of the Lord, or is talking to you and I about the things that we need. God has strategically placed people all around. There are kingdom resources all around us, established for the very purpose of you and I being able to experience God in our lives. Every time you are blessed, it's because God orchestrated it. Every time a need is met in your house, it is because God orchestrated it. Every time you have an experience in life of one type or another, you're able to navigate through these challenges and these difficulties because God is orchestrating the steps of the righteous. And when you walk with God, when you commune with God, he makes a way for us. And so it says in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 6, it says, "Then Solomon said, 'The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. I have built you a lofty house and a place for your dwelling forever.'" Notice that he is wanting us to dwell with God forever. God is a forever God. He is an eternal God. Everything he does lasts forever. It doesn't rot out. It doesn't dry up. It doesn't fall apart. It doesn't find itself where it can't endure or pass the test of time. Everything that God is providing for and is making a way for you and I, for us to accomplish and to experience, it's all coming to fruition because God has divine, eternal resources. And there is strength and there is power in those resources. And so you and I can have confidence in knowing that God wants to dwell forever. Forever. It's an eternal experience in God. In verse 3 it says, "Then the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled it with his hands, saying, since the day that I brought my people from the land of Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there. Nor did I choose any man for a leader over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well. that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who will be born to you, he shall build the house for my name. And now the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke. For I have risen in the place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house of the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And I'm pausing there. This is important for us to grab. It's important because if we don't grab anything else, we need to understand that God fulfills his word. Verse 10 says, now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, for I have risen in the place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Saints of God, he is our resource. You and I need to retrieve it. We need to retrieve the resources of God. We need to retrieve the resources that the Spirit of God has made provision for us. The Word of God is a resource. God has spoken and he has caused things to come to pass. And you and I are able to draw from the resources of God, because God's desire is to dwell in the midst of the house. You and I, we must occupy the house. We have to occupy in his presence. We have to abide in his presence. We have to walk in his presence. We have to live in the presence of God. And this is why Paul over and over again talks about walking in the Spirit, in the resources of God. You see, God is Spirit. Hallelujah. And he is our resource. The resources of God are of the Spirit of God. You and I, we need a fresh anointing. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need the Word of God to come alive in us as we meditate on it day and night, as we commune in the Word of God, as we sing psalms and establish an atmosphere and a presence where the glory of God is being established among us. And saints of God, I pray that you have confidence today in knowing that God is a fulfiller of his word. God is one who is able to speak, and out of the resources of all that he has, he is able to draw all that you need. He can breathe life, health, and strength into you. He can empower you. He can raise you up in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 6 says, there I have set the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the sons of Israel. Hallelujah. God has a covenant. You and I are in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a blood covenant. It is a resource covenant of the Spirit. God is Spirit. Hallelujah. You and I, we dwell in the houses. There are two types of dwellings that you can dwell in. Well, that there are, you can dwell in the house as in the flesh, or you can dwell in a house in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you and I are called to dwell in the house of the Spirit of God, according to the Spirit of God. Yes, we are physically in the flesh, but we're not of the flesh. We're of the kingdom of God. We're of a heavenly resource. Our house is established. We have all the tools, all the resources in order to fellowship with God, in order to be reconciled with God. Our house has been renewed. It has been washed. It has been made clean. There are prayers going up as a resource of God. There is the light of God and of his word in the kingdom of God. And there is all of the creative works of God that are at work at all around us, even as the candlesticks are there as a representation of God's creation. And you and I are all there. We're able to experience God doing a new thing in the midst of our lives. I pray that you have life being breathed into you today. I pray that you are being strengthened today. I pray that you are able to arise in this new covenant of the Spirit of God. He says in verse 11, "There I have set the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the sons of Israel." Saints of God, you and I, like the sons of Israel, we have a covenant through Jesus Christ. You and I have a covenant in God. You and I have new life in God. In verse 12, he says, "Then he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands." Hallelujah. You see what he's doing? He's spreading out his hands. Saints of God, this is why we spread out our hands. We acknowledge the Lord. We are lifting up holy hands unto God. After the people were prayed over, after the people were purified, after the people are designated to God and surrendered and yielded to God, after you and I are clean before the Lord, after we are able to be restored in God, we are able to then begin to think about occupying the house. And he says that he has his hands lifted up, and Solomon had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, or 2.5, yards, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and he stood on it, and he knelt on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. Here is an act of worship. Here he is down on his knees with his hands spread out in an act of worship unto God. And he's got his hands lifted up toward heaven over the presence of all the assembly of Israel. Saints of God, we pray for you today. We pray that you would be lifted up in God today, that you would be exalted in the Lord today, that you would know the power of the presence of God today, that the hand of the Lord would be upon you today, and that you would be raised up in the strength of God, in the fullness of the Spirit. In verse 14, he says, "O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness toward your servants who walk before you with all their hearts." God, this is our cry for your people today. This is our cry for the people of God today. "Who has kept with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him? Indeed, you have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day." Hallelujah. "Now, therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him, saying, 'You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their way, to walk in my ways, to walk in my laws, as you have walked before me.'" Saints of God, this is what will enable you to continue to occupy the house. When you are surrendered to God, God is faithful to you. He will fulfill his promise to us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He is always there. The resources of God are there for us. Just as David had all the resources pulled together for Solomon, when Solomon went to build this house, the house of the Lord, he didn't have to figure out where the resources were going to come from. The resources were already there. They were brought in. God provided the resources. God will provide your resources. God will make a way for you if you are following the ways of the Lord. If you are careful to walk in all the laws of the Lord and the ways of God before him, as it says here in verse 16. So you and I are called to walk in the ways of the Lord. We can experience these promises likewise. in our lives as well. Verse 17 says, "Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant David." Saints of God, God will confirm his word. He will confirm his word. He will demonstrate himself. He will cause things to happen that otherwise would not have happened. We look at it and we try to figure it out according to the resources that we can see and that we can have. But there are resources that are in the heavenly Home Depot of God that God has for us. You and I, we have no idea all that's in the warehouse, all that's in the storehouse of God. And God is able to pour into you. He is able to breathe life into us. He is able to arise in the midst of us. And we are able to see the manifestations of God come alive. God can make a way even when it seems impossible. And he can enable you to dwell in the house of the Lord. You're able to commune in the house. You can have healing in the house. Verse 18 says, "But will God indeed dwell with mankind on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built?" And so here is Solomon. He's realizing that God is an awesome God. He is so huge. He is so vast, so big. He understood that God couldn't fit into anything made by human hands. But he did understand that it was according to the promise of God. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, "Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you." In other words, God, hear my cry. Hear my cry, Solomon is saying. He is crying out and he is saying, God, I know that you can't fit technically in this house, but God is spirit, and the spirit of the Lord can come in, and he can move into a place that you and I may not understand how he can do it, but he is able to do it, and he can come in and commune with us and fellowship with us. Verse 20 says, "That your eye may be open toward this house day and night, toward the place of which you have said that you would not, or that you would put your name there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place." Saints of God, God is listening for your prayers. He is listening for the cries of your heart. God is listening to be able to come in and take up residence within you. I pray that you have Christ dwelling within you, that he has taken up residence, that he is someone who you have allowed to move in. You have invited him into your heart, into your life. I pray that you know the very power of the presence of the Spirit of God like never before. I pray even during this time of great difficulty and challenge and of sickness and disease and oppression and bondage, that all of this, you are feeling the refreshing resources of God being poured into you, being poured out upon you, and that you are being lifted up and that you are being raised up, so that like Micah says, hallelujah, in verse 7, it says, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Saints of God, God, he will hear you. God is a God who is a listening God. He is listening for you. He is watching over you. He is looking out for you. His desire is to dwell with you, for you to occupy the house, for you to just tap in and retrieve the resources of God. He is making resources for you. He is making a way for you. He is opening doors for you. He is establishing himself in the midst of you. All you need to do is worship the Lord. All you need to do is glorify the Lord. All you need to do is lift up the name of the Lord. And God, he will make a way for you. This is what he says in verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. Saints of God, you may dwell in the darkness or under the shadow of coronavirus and all of the oppression and the bondage of this world. But I tell you that you ought to know that the Lord has called you to rise up. Hallelujah. And that your enemy will not prevail against you. Coronavirus will not prevail against you. Sickness will not prevail against you. Disease will not prevail against you. There is healing in the land. There is healing in the air. There is a work of the Spirit of God at work. And though you fall, you will rise again. The righteous may fall 7 times, yet they rise again. Praise God, saints, you can rise again. The Lord is a light for you. Let the Lord be your light. Let him be your strength today. He goes on in verse 9. He says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. Saints of God, there is redemption for all who call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ has made a way for you. He has opened the door. He has paid your sin debt. He has established all of the elements of the house, and he has fulfilled them all so that you and I might be able to fellowship with God, that we would be able to commune with God, that we might be able to walk with him so that you and I could occupy the house. This is what you and I have reason to give thanks for and to rejoice over. You and I, we can see the righteousness of Christ. He is pleading our case. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding, ever making intercession for you and I. This is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus is accomplishing. He says, then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look on her. At the time, she will be trampled down like mire in the streets. Saints of God, victory is coming our way. Victory is coming. There are going to be those who say, where is the Lord? Oh, I thought you were trusting in God. Why, you got, how'd you get sick? Or how'd you have this problem? Or why is that going on in your life? Or why is this happening? And why is that going on? Where's the Lord now? Where is your God? Well, saints of God, your enemies will be trampled down like mire in the streets, because the Lord, he is victorious. He is the one who is your source of cover. He is the one who is making a way for you. He is providing all the resources that you need. He is strengthening you. And as you worship him, and as you commune with him, as you pray and lift up holy hands unto God, as you kneel down before the Lord and you worship him, as you pray over your family, over your household, over your children, over your loved ones and your friends and all those who might be sick or oppressed or who may be struggling in one way or another, you are able to lift up hands over them, holy hands outstretched, and pray and call upon the name of the Lord, and you will see the manifestations of God. He says, but as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Hallelujah. Saints of God, God will hear you today. God will listen if you will cry out to the Lord, if you are walking with him, if you are communing with God, as you are retrieving of the resources of God, you will be able to see and know the faithfulness of God, and that you will be able to tap into all those things that God is making way for you to have, that you would be able to see and know and prevail, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are able because you are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. As the Spirit of the Lord arises, as the anointing of God moves, Spirit of the Lord, breathe upon your people. Spirit of God, arise in the midst of your people. God, move, enable, strengthen, set free. Allow God to use you today. Tap in and retrieve it, saints of God. Tap in and retrieve of the resources of heaven, of the glory of God, of the presence of God, of the anointing of God, of the Spirit of God, of the hand of God, that the glory of the Lord may prevail for you, that God may be lifted up and exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And amen. Glory to God. Occupy the house. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word today. And Lord, we pray, oh God, that you would help us to walk in the ways of God, understanding, Lord, that it has always been your desire to walk with us, to live with us, to commune with us, and that you might occupy the house, and that you and I would be able to occupy the house of the Lord. Our desire is to occupy your house, Lord. Our desire, O God, is to know that you are with us and not forsake us. I pray, O Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up and exalted. I pray, God, that you would enable us to pick up the mantle and that we would prevail beyond the times. We thank you, O God, for all these things as we pray healing and strength to all those who you, O God, are in the midst of right now, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Retrieve it, saints of God. Allow the resources of God. Tap in and occupy the house. Pick up your mantle and let's prevail beyond the times. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.